All right, good to be back after a little break. Hopefully you appreciated Pastor Ryan filling in and preaching. So we're going back to our worldview series, and I know I got to give everybody a big reminder so you remember, when was that? What were we talking about? So I know it just seems that way at times. So we're talking about this idea of a worldview and that everyone has a worldview. Everyone has a way of how they see the world. And most people probably couldn't identify it, don't know what it is, but we know we see the world in a certain way. And so we're trying to build off of that idea to say, what does it look like to see the world as God asks us to see that through his word? And we're doing that through questions. So the first question was, who am I? And the next one was, why am I here? That's what we've covered so far. Who am I and why am I here? Who am I? I am the crown and glory of the creation of God. David talks about this, Psalm chapter 8, I am the crown and glory of the creation of God. And then, why am I here? I am here to bring honor and glory to God. So those were our big moments as we started off. They're really talking about the beginning, creation. They're so important that we understand the world through that lens. Why am I here? I'm the crown and glory of the creation of God. I am here to bring honor and glory to God. So today is, what's wrong with the world? Now, hopefully, I don't have to stand up here for 10 minutes and demonstrate to you and help you understand that there's something wrong with the world, okay? You could take out your phone and you could look at your news feed, and if you have an Apple, you could swipe, I don't know, right or left, whatever it is, and you could go over to your news feed and you go, oh my goodness, okay, there's something wrong with the world. Most of us understand that. My news feed this week was with all sorts of different things. We have extended family on Jill's side that work at Michigan State. So guess what happened to them the other night? They were locked down. They didn't get home till like 1:30, 2 in the morning. And so I'm seeing this in my news feed. They're safe. They're safe. They're safe because they're teaching on campus. So I had that right all in my news feed, as well as lots of other things happening and going on. You're like, oh my goodness, right? Even in our own town, we have huge news for us because we never see these kind of things happen in our own town. So it's like, okay, so I shouldn't have to stand up here and for 20 minutes tell you, I hope you know there's something wrong with the world. We all should be there, okay? And if you're not, just spend watching 5 minutes of the news and perhaps you'll just arrive there with me. There is something wrong with the world. But how would you answer that question? If someone approached you and said, gosh, my news feed this morning, this person, you know, there was a shooting here, and then this person over here died of a drug overdose, and my goodness, there's this threat of war here, there's all this stuff going on over there, and they just look at you, and you're working together, and they go, what's wrong with the world? How would you answer that? How would you answer that in that moment of helping them understand what's wrong with the world? So remember, we're in Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20. This is like a creed that Paul borrows and says, I want you to know this. Come on, we say it in church all the time. And so here it is, these few verses about he is the image of the invisible God. And there's a section in here I want to just point out, okay? And this is towards the end in verse number 20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself by making peace. And so when you read that section of it, you go, okay, something's wrong because we've got to be reconciled. Reconciling is a financial term that most of you probably understand at some point in your life, okay, maybe you still do it. You have to balance a checkbook, okay? And the bank says you have this much money, and you go, I got this much, and you're not balanced. You're not reconciled. It's simply a financial term that you've got to get this side, we got to be equal. We got to be the same. So this is going to happen through somebody. Jesus has to make peace. He has to reconcile us through the blood of his cross. Oh, gosh. Somebody's got to die in order that because of something that happened. So this clues us in that there is something wrong with the world. Because all it's talking about is Jesus and how awesome Jesus is, and he is the image of the invisible God, and you need to follow him, and we're the crown and glory of the creation of God, and we need to give him all honor, praise, and glory. And now, well, he had to die, so why did he have to die? Very next verse, look what Paul says. You, right? He looks at all of us and he says, you were at one time strangers and enemies in your minds, as expressed through your evil deeds. Gosh, Paul, that's a little harsh, right? We made a few mistakes. We had a couple boo-boos, right? We'll just try to lighten that up a little bit. That's a little harsh. We're strangers. We're enemies. Our minds are evil deeds, right? He's just laying it out because that's what's wrong with the world. He wants to make sure we understand that. We can't just point at somebody else, okay? Because what's wrong with the world, very simply, okay? And we could just all leave at this point, right? We are sin. Isn't that wonderful, okay? Don't sin. Go be strong, right? We could do that, but maybe that's not going to be helpful for us today to say we're the problem, okay? It isn't just, oh, that sin over there, okay? And then we name the sin that we've never done, okay? That's the problem with the world, okay? And if we could just deal with those people, if those people who are enemies with God and they're just tossed out, if they would just get their act together, we wouldn't have any problems. No. He says you, and he means all of us. We are hostile to God. We are enemies with God. We've done evil deeds. So, sin is something we talk about all the time. And I wonder how often we just breeze it over. Oh, yeah, sin. It's that sin thing, right? And just tell me, don't do that. Okay, so I leave today and I'm encouraged not to do something. And I don't know if that's going to be helpful for us. So I want to give us a picture that Scripture gives us. And it's a picture of something called the path. And all I'm hoping to do today is to just raise your awareness. Because as you're going to see at the end, when I just like hit a bunch of verses that many of you know in this room, many of you know watching online, you're going to be like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Path or way shows up all the time in Scripture. In fact, let me give you an example from Judges chapter 2. They quickly turned aside, right? Talking about the next generations after Joshua, they quickly turned aside from the, oh, there's that word, path. Their ancestors had walked. Joshua's generation, they turned aside from that, okay? Their ancestors had obeyed the Lord's commands, but they did not. And they all use it in reference to this idea of a path. In fact, what happens is there are four words in Hebrew in the Old Testament that all refer to this idea of path and are words that we use for sin or something very close to sin. And all of them carry this image of the idea of the path. And we are either following Jesus and we are on that path of following Jesus, or we are not. And it just helps us understand maybe a little bit better, maybe in a little bit different way this morning, this whole idea of sin. Okay, here we go. Kata, okay? Kata most of the time just translated sin in your Bible. And it simply means stepping from the path. You know, you're on the path, and then you just step off the path. Well, that doesn't sound too bad, right? You know, the first time it appears here to Cain. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Kata, okay? You're going to step off the path, Cain. It desires to dominate you, but you must subdue it. Well, cat can't be a big deal, right? I just stepped off the path. I don't know. Ask Abel. He was killed. Okay? Just step off the path, cost somebody's their life. Okay? I hope you understand. That's why we get this imagery of sin all over the place, about sin brings death and destruction. Okay? Because that's what happened. Oh, it's not a big deal. I just step off the path. I'm a little mad at my brother. Next thing, he's dead. Okay? I think it's a big deal. Stepping off the path's a big deal. You're following Jesus. You're following God's word, and you just step off. Maybe you think, oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, you're going to kill something. And it might not be somebody's life. You might kill your marriage. But it wasn't a big deal. I just stepped off the path a little bit, took a little glance, you know. Had that little emotional affair. Not a big deal. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. The whole idea of stepping off the path is you have now left the path that God's laid out for us, the path where he says, I have good things in store for you. You have left that, and I'm telling you, you are opening your life to all sorts of things. You might not think it's a big deal, but when Scripture talks about kata, sin, step off the path, trouble, okay? Trouble, and you have no idea what you are bringing into your life when you step off the path. The second one, ava. Ava's iniquity, or distorting or the twisting of the path. I'm just going to take this path and I'm just going to twist it and kind of distort it. So where do we find this in Scripture? In 2 Samuel chapter 24. In 2 Samuel 24, David decides to count his troops. Well, what's so big about that? Because he got all twisted up in his own greatness and his own goodness. And but God thinks I'm an awesome king and I'm going to be great and I'm going to count all these people and I'm going to look at the surrounding nations and say, I have a bigger army than you do. It was so twisted and distorted about what God wanted him to do and what God called him as a man after his own heart. That David, when he describes it, he's describing it because of the punishment that gets leveled on the people. David said to the Lord, look, it's I who have sinned. Well, what does he mean? It's I that twisted and distorted this whole thing up. David's saying that. David's not saying, I didn't just step off the path. I twisted and messed up this whole thing. If you want to see this in the New Testament, pull out Romans chapter 1 and see this twisted mess in Romans chapter 1 that you can see in all sorts of places and go, oh, what happened there? Oh, it's simple. There was a path that God created. God said, follow me. And we just took it and distorted it, messed it up, and did all sorts of things to it. That's another picture for sin. You distort, you twist the path that God has created. The next one, pesha. Sometimes it'll be translated transgression in certain translations. It means to break a covenant or to abandon a path. So we have this agreement and I'm just going to break it. I'm just going to abandon that path. I'm just done with the path. I'm going to abandon. You know where it shows up? And again, these people are saying it about themselves. This is what I think is great. Okay, David said this about himself. God looked and said, Cain, look what you're doing. Okay, so this is after Israel, Jacob, dies, and all the brothers are worried. Oh my goodness, Joseph's in charge. He's going to kill us, or he's going to throw us in jail, or he's going to, he's going to just reenact the whole scene. Okay, guys, I got a whole army. Army, this is what we're going to do to my brothers. You're going to beat them up, you're going to throw them down a well, okay, and then you're going to sell them into slavery because that's what they did to me. And we're just going to make it worse and harder. And they were worried about this. So guess what they do? Okay? They make up this whole story. What are we going to do? Hey, what if we tell Joseph? Dad's like, Joseph, please, just forgive him. Okay? So look what they say. Tell Joseph this. Please forgive the sin. And I think it's interesting they use that. Hey, we abandoned the path. We totally abandoned the path. We totally broke what we were supposed to be as brothers and supposed to be as a family. Please forgive the sin of your brothers and the wrong they did when they treated you so badly. Now, please forgive the sin of the servants of your God, your forefather. They're just like simple, okay? They're just like, we just messed this whole thing up. We messed this whole thing up. We totally abandoned the path that God had. Totally, totally abandoned it. That's what we did. The last one is Ashan. Ashan simply means guilt. Quite often it's translated this way, and it's just a neglecting of the path. It's almost like you're on the path and you just stop. I'm done. I'm done. Not going anywhere. Not following anymore. I'm just going to do nothing. So guess where this appears? This appears when Isaac takes Rebekah. They go to Egypt. And he does the same thing his dad does with Sarah, just tries to pass her off as his sister. Watch what happens. Abimelech exclaimed, what in the world have you done to us? One of the men nearly took your wife to bed, and you would have brought guilt on us. So see, it's translated there, guilt. You would have brought guilt upon us. You've just abandoned the path. There's a section in the New Testament that talks about the person who knows what is right and doesn't do it, it's sin. Okay, that's what this talks about. You know what is right. You're supposed to do it. You don't. It is sin. That's the concept of the idea of the path when it comes to sin. We twist it. We distort it. We step off it. We abandon it. We neglect it. And now I want you to see this. This is all throughout Scripture. You're going to be like, oh, I've heard that Scripture before. Is this idea of the path. Okay? Psalms 23. He leads me down the right path. Or some of your translations say the path of righteousness for the sake of his reputation. Isn't that interesting? I have to be led. Listen, I'm not going to just choose it myself. I need to be led down the path of righteousness. I love how David said, I'm just a sheep, right? David's like, I'm just a dumb sheep, and I'm not going to know which way I'm going unless I follow the shepherd. And the only way is the shepherd's going to lead me down the right path, because otherwise I'm going to get the wrong path, and I'm going to step off of it. I'm going to neglect it. I'm going to abandon it. And David understood this. And just right there in the 23rd Psalm, I need to be led. I need to be led down the right path, because we're going to get ourselves in trouble all the time. I know you think, oh, no, I'll be fine. Nope. If you are not led down the right path, you are going to choose the wrong one. Got to be led down the right path. How about Psalms 119? Your word is a lamp to walk by or to my feet and a light to illuminate my path. Well, isn't that interesting? Here's David again saying, guess what I need? I need some help. How do I know if I'm on the path? That's a great question. You ought to be asking that question today. How do I know if I'm on the path? How do I know? Okay, this week there might have been some interesting things. You might look around and say, yeah, but everybody at work does that, right? Everybody in traffic does that, okay? Everybody at Walmart does that. Like, it was yell at cashier day. I don't know. That's what it was. So everybody did that. I'm just doing what everybody else did. Yeah, but you're not everybody else. You're following Jesus. So you need to know what path you're on. Guess what? His word lights our path, helps us understand, are we on his path? Are we following him? Are we just off of it, doing our own thing? And just calling it good. Oh, God, just bless this. Just bless my path. I like my path. My path is fun. My path is exciting. I don't know if I like your path. And we just want God to bless our path. And he's like, nah, don't work that way. Come on. You need some light. You need to know where you're going. Open my word. Okay? How about the second part of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your understanding? Acknowledge him in all your ways, paths, and he will make your path straight. It's going to require you to trust the Lord in order to have that pastor. You see how it just shows up over and over and over again. One of the key verses we used a couple years ago, okay? And we only used the front part of this verse, okay? I want you to see the back part. Look, I'm about to do something new. Now it begins to happen. Do you not recognize it? Watch what's right after this. Yes, I will make a road in the wilderness and pass in the wasteland. Just follow me. I know. You're like, where are we going? What's going on? I know I'm going to do something new. Just follow. Come on. Just follow. Trust me. Trust me. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be there for you. I'll be there for you in all this. How about this one? All of us have wandered off like sheep. Each of us have strayed off on his own path. But the Lord caused the sin of all of us to attack him. Isaiah 53. Talking about ultimately the sacrifice of Jesus. And just go to the New Testament and watch this battle in John 14, where Thomas, right, speaks up and goes, how do we know the way? I don't know the way. How do we know what path we're supposed to be on? And Jesus just looks at him and says, what? I am the way. Just change that word. It's the same third. I'm the path. I'm the path. Damn it. Just follow me. Just follow me. You're confused. Come on. Just here. Just follow me. Follow me. Follow me. So that was a lot. I know I dumped a lot on you this morning about this whole idea of the path, trying to get us to understand, are we on it? What are we doing with it? Basically, if I could put it together, here we go. We are born off the path. You need to understand that. We are born sinners. Okay? We are born sinners. And all of you know that because none of you taught your kids how to say the word no, or I won't, or be defiant. None of you did that lesson, did you? Okay? They just caught it naturally, right? Because we're born off the path. We live our lives neglecting, twisting, stepping off, or just stopping to go down that path and do what is right. We just stop. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay? So here is my challenge for you today. Confess, repent, follow Jesus. So I'm going to ask for Shofi, and sometimes I don't do this. And if you're online, just Destiny's back there today. Just tell Destiny if you heard it. How many of you in the room, okay, with all the negativity, right, with all the stuff, and you're like, Ed, I don't watch the news anymore, okay? Now, I understand because of things I'm involved and connected with, I'll explain in a moment, that it showed up in my news, social news, media news feed over and over and over again. How many of you this week heard of the revival at Asbury College? Okay. Ooh, wow. Oh, now I'm excited. You're actually listening to good stuff. All right. Good. Good job. Okay. So I was talking about this with a friend this week, and I said, you know what? I know I have that book in here. So I start going through my bookshelves, and so I have one. Whether you understand this or not, 53 years ago, this book was written about a revival at the same college, Asbury College, called One Divine Moment, the Asbury Revival, okay? And I was like, oh, I think I have that book somewhere, right? It's one of those books, Jill's like, really? Really? You got so many of them, right? You got so many of them. So I pulled this off. See, this now I can see. See, honey? I got the book, right? I got the book. I found the book, right? I can just brag about that for a moment. So do you know how this started? Oh, this started because they had the best preacher in America show up and just say, yes, here we go. And he preached the best. Nope, 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 nope. It started in February of 1970. So in February of 1970, the person in charge, February 3rd, 1970, the person in charge of chapel that day, they had chapel every day. And the reason I know about Asbury is connected to the college that I attended and went to. A lot of my friends went to seminary there, were connected there in certain ways. So in February 3rd, 1970, the person in charge of chapel that day decided he wasn't going to preach, that he was going to open it up for a testimony time, okay? So in that testimony time, a senior, okay, a senior, this means, you know, they've at least spent 4 years there, maybe five, I don't know, right? They've spent some time at college, gets up and talks about how, basically, I'm gonna summarize what I get from reading this. You know, I live pretty close to the path, but I went on the path. This is a senior in Bible college, okay? Just gets up and says, yeah, I went on the path, except for last night, where I encountered God in a real way, and I'm on that path. In other words, can I just tell you what happened? Confession and repentance. That's all that happened, okay? That's all that happened, okay? Someone didn't preach the best sermon everybody's ever heard and went, woo, wow, this is great. Nope. Somebody got up and simply confessed and repented. Off the path. I'm off the path. I was off the path. And they did it in front of a bunch of people. Do you have to do that? No. I'm just telling you their story, right? They're like, I'm off the path. I'm a senior in Bible college. I've been off the path my entire life, right? I'm just off the path. And now, last night, I got back on the path. I got back on the path of following Jesus and confessed what I did. Confession is simply that. I don't know. Did you twist the path? Did you step off the path? Did you neglect the path? It's just saying what you did, okay, that you're not on the path. And this is what I did. Now I'm not on the path. And then you know what? You get back on the path, and you just start following Jesus. That's the story of this revival. That's the story of the current one going on right now, okay? And, you know, that's all that's happening is they are saying and confessing, not on the path. Not on the path. I stepped off the path. I twisted the path. I've never been on the path. And now, I'm on the path. That's all they're doing. We make this thing way too hard. Way, 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 way too hard. That's confession and repentance. I'm not on the path. I've sinned. In fact, this is what 2 Chronicles is all about. When Solomon, you know, he sets up this temple and he builds it for the Lord, and they have a big thing, and God says, so what happens when everything goes bad and you leave the path, Solomon? The whole country leaves the path. What are you going to do? Confess, repent, turn from your wicked ways. We could just use the word path there. You know, you got on the wrong path, and you start following this idol, and you start doing this stuff. Stop, 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 stop. Get off that path. Confess, repent, and get on the path again. That's all he's trying to get us to understand. Okay? So my question for you today is, where have you stepped off, twisted? Because, oh gosh, we have a way of twisting things. I've told people, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. You can make it say anything out of context. Oh my goodness, right? Especially if you're a Hebrew scholar, you can probably make it say anything you want to at that point, right? And see this Hebrew word? That means I can do whatever I want, right? You can make it say anything you want it to. Out of context, out of what God says, you can make it say anything. So we have that propensity. We twist things. We neglect things. You might just stop following at some point. Ed, you understand? Somebody did? Yeah. Confess and repent. James urged people to confess to each other because, you know, sometimes we need to do that. Do you have to? No. Your confession is to the Lord, okay, because that's who you've sinned against. And sometimes you've sinned against somebody else as well, and you need to go make it right with them. But that's who we confess before the Lord, and we're off the path. God, we're off the path, doing our own thing, and we want to get back on the path. So I want to give you a few moments to reflect and pray, and then we are going to take communion together because this is so important to remember the sacrifice of Christ. This is why we are set free. This is why a path was made for us to get back on the path of God through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so we're going to take those two elements and be reminded of that. But I just wanted you to take a few moments, just pray, just think about that. Where have you stepped off? Where have you twisted? Where have you neglected? Or where have you just stopped following Jesus? And that you would offer your confession to God, that you would repent, and that you would get back on that path of following Jesus. Let's spend a few moments in quiet reflection. Jesus, one of the last things you told your disciples is that you would send the Holy Spirit, would convict of sin. Because we could all sit in here this morning and just justify, it's 2023, everybody does it. Everybody steps off the path, everybody neglects things, everybody twists things. It's just life in America. We can just justify ourselves, but Holy Spirit, you will not allow us to. Say, no, you left the path. Confess, repent, get on that path. I pray, Father, you would work in our hearts today. Remind us, show us. Let the self-justifying stop. That we would confess and repent. We've seen what happens when we do that. We've seen the impact that has. But first and foremost, it's for us to be right with you. And we want to do that so we confess the sins we've committed. We are off the path. And Jesus, you died in our place and rose again for our salvation so that the payment for our sins was made and we can return to the path and follow you in all repentance. So I pray as we take these elements today of the bread and the cup, we'd be reminded sin has a price. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life to Christ Jesus our Lord. We take these two things today, remembering that. And so I pray you would help us to stop justifying, excusing, and start confessing and repenting. May you do that as we take communion together. May you work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.